One of the best investments a department or agency can make is a good, well-staffed Inspector General's office. But too often, political appointees get in the way of IG investigations. That's according to a study coming out of the Brookings Institution. John Hudak is Senior Fellow in Governance Studies at Brookings and a co-author of the study, along with Grace Wallach. She is Senior Research Assistant at Brookings. They talked about their work with Federal News Radio's Tom Tevin.
So we looked at the largest offices of Inspector General in the federal government. That includes the cabinet agencies, TIGTA, Social Security. And what we wanted in a previous paper, we looked at their return on investment, essentially what you said in the opening. How good of an investment is it for the government to put money in these offices? And what we found is that the offices generally pay for themselves quite well, in fact. Their return on investment is quite high. But after that step, we wanted to look at what affected the variation in ROI. And there was a pretty tremendous variation across these offices. And we found in one paper that political influence, the presence and saturation of political appointees had quite an effect on lowering the return on investment, which we consider a proxy measure for the effectiveness of an office.
Okay, before we yank on that thread, Grace, I just wanted to back up for a moment and ask, in calculating that an OIG pays for itself, what sorts of numbers did you look at?
Sure. I can sort of give a quick explanation of how that works. So the IGs report semi-annually to Congress all of their returns from both audits and investigations. They also report sort of non-monetary measures like, effective HR policies and reviews. But we wanted to kind of standardize this. So we looked at the money that they brought in. And, audits can range from, looking over contracts or hiring policies or how money gets spent. And investigations usually have to do with fraud in agencies like SSA or HHS. And then we just added those up for the year, so the total money brought in from audits investigations, and divided that by the IG's budget for the year. So it's a pretty straightforward measure of how much money they brought in versus how much it cost to operate. And a little bit more specifics, the average ROI across the IGs we studied was around $13 to one, and the highest level was about $40 to one. So it's not just a 2-to-1 or a 3-to-1 ROI. It's a really big investment.
And so this bigger finding that political appointees can often interfere, that seems counterintuitive because often a new president or a new administration comes in and the political appointees want to maybe ride herd on an agency, and you would think they would back up OIG investigations. What did you actually find?
Well, to be clear, we didn't look at any specific incidents of this interference. We looked from the 30,000-foot view at the numbers. But we have talked to several IGs in the course of our research. And what we found is that political appointees can be quite hostile to IGs. They can slow down investigations. They can set up numerous types of roadblocks that hinder what an IG is set to do. That can be slow in releasing records or slow in getting people together for investigations, for interviews and discussions. There are a variety of ways in which appointees do this, and a lot of IGs said that, yeah, that's a pretty common part of their job.
And IGs kind of also said that either from Congress or new administration officials like that, even good intentions can kind of be difficult for them to work with. So if you have a political reason to really go after a certain program, the IGs kind of know better what is a good or worthwhile investigation. And even the best of intentions, when sort of misapplied, can result in a lower return on investment. So it's not always that political appointees are derailing investigations, although that certainly does happen. It was more the general political influence that we studied, and it can go both ways.
But not to put it too bluntly, but, well, I will. It seems like the principle of don't embarrass the boss overrides the principle of let's get this program as good as we can, regardless of where the chips fall.
Well, that's absolutely right. I think, political appointees serve a variety of roles, and your listeners know that as well as anyone. But one of those roles, especially appointees in the highest of echelons, their role is to make sure the president does not get embarrassed, to make sure that their agency does not get embarrassed. And I think when an IG is beginning an investigation, it's not seen as necessarily as an effort to improve things. It's seen as snooping around. IGs are considered government rat squads, and people are very weary of what the IG is going to find. Sometimes it helps improve the agency. Sometimes it gets an appointee fired. And so there is a an effort of self-preservation in this realm, but there's also the effort to protect the president.
We're speaking with John Hudak, Senior Fellow in Governance Studies at Brookings Institution, and Grace Wallach, a Senior Research Assistant at Brookings. And is there anything that career employees, rather, senior executive service members, for example, can do to kind of step in and maybe help the process at all?
Well, these situations can be quite complex. I think for sure, career SES members are the ones institutionally best positioned to resist that type of influence or be willing to call it out. I think they are the ones oftentimes with the most tenure at these agencies, the people who have seen these types of behaviors in action over the course of years. They've been trained to identify those types of behaviors and work on ways to go around it. And surely there are efforts in the federal government for the SES and people in GS to deal with these situations and to call them out when they're happening. But at the end of the day, the hierarchy in the federal government is a tremendous one, and standing up to political appointees is not an easy business.
It also strikes me that slow walking an investigation by an IG might be a way of thwarting whistleblowers without actually dealing directly with the whistleblower.
I think that's right. I think there are a lot of advantages, if you want to call it that, for an appointee or for any individual really in an agency to slow walk an investigation. Slow walking it makes that investigation more costly. IGs, like everyone in the federal government, is operating under pretty serious budget constraints. And the longer you drag out an investigation, the blurrier memories are, the easier it is to lose paperwork. And like you said, I think you can deal with a whistleblower in what may be considered a more effective way from that self-preservation perspective than if you actually had to take them on headstrong.
And you say you looked at the larger agencies like Social Security and also the Tax Inspector General at IRS and so forth. Does size of agency, as far as you can tell, have anything to do with how often things get politicized? I mean, what might happen at a small agency? I don't know. I'm just picking one out of the air. Federal Trade Commission.
Well, so one disadvantage, I'll admit, of the study is that we weren't able to look at all of the tiniest agencies within government. I think that's another area of research we want to explore. We didn't, for example, look at Amtrak or the Federal Trade Commission, et cetera. We did, however, check the size of the IG, the size of the agency, and we found that the most important factor in sort of buffering the influence of political appointees was the relative size of the two. So the larger relative to the agency that the IG is, the better it can withstand the effects of this political influence. And that's a pretty intuitive finding. It makes sense that, the more senior level IGs there are, the bigger the IG is itself, the more sort of split up the department is. It's harder to influence when there are sort of more people involved in the investigation. And so that was our main finding. And it sort of, stands to common sense that that would be the case.
The flip side to that is you can imagine a smaller IG, an office with 2 or 3 or 10 people in it, monitoring a pretty substantial institution like the FTC or what, is just undermanned to stand up to that type of political influence. They have a lot to do. They don't have many people to help them do it. And as a result of that, slow walking those investigations or setting up roadblocks are all that more effective because you're setting up roadblocks ultimately for fewer people.
And there was a case a few years ago of a politically appointed agency head trying to cut the IG budget. It was the politically appointed agency head whose head rolled in that case.
Yeah, it's such an important point, how important an IG budget is. This is a good investment. As I said at the outset, IGs pay for themselves. For every dollar you put into an IG, for the most part, you get more than a dollar back in good government, in saved spending. And so the idea that cutting an IG, whether it's because of political motives or even because of a random or purposeful budget cut across the board, that not only hurts IGs, but it has upward pressure on deficits, because at the end of the day, the IGs are saving the government and the average taxpayer money.
And do you think this report that you have come out with, can it be used in some way to maybe for transition that we have coming up in just a few months?
Yeah, the transition is going to be such an important part uh, 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 in a important part of the fall. And I think too often presidents think of IGs as, second tier, third tier, fourth tier personnel positions that only get filled after the fact, after the cabinet is in place, after the undersecretaries are in place. But these are really important individuals who, if the next president is serious about good government, if the next president is serious about effective spending, and if the next president is serious about rooting corruption or other bad actors out of government, IG should be toward the top of the list of who he or she picks.
John Hudak is Senior Fellow in Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution, and Grace Wallach is Senior Research Assistant at Brookings. Together, they wrote the study, Political Appointees as Barriers to Government Efficiency and Effectiveness. You can read more and share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive. Just click Share with Friends.